This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين امين يا رب العالمين. اهلا وسهلا everybody to our fiqh of salah lectures. As usual, we like to start with our muraja'a, our review inshallah. And last time we were talking about Salat al-Tatawwa, right? The voluntary prayers. And we finished that, alhamdulillah. And we were about to begin Salat al-Jama'ah, the congregational prayer. And inshallah, we'll be discussing that today. And these are some of the other topics we'll be covering, bi'idhnillah, in the upcoming weeks. So last week we had a week off because of our beautiful weather, mashallah. But some of the things that, we talked about was the night prayer. What was the ruling of the night prayer? When I say ruling, is it something like sunnah, sunnah mu'akkada, wajib? Man yadhkur? Salatul layl, na'am. Yeah, sunnah mu'akkada. So we said that the night prayer is sunnah mu'akkada. Yani it's something that is highly recommended, something that is highly emphasized and recommended. And, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Alaykum, okay, alaykum bi qiyam al-layl, fa innahu da'bu al-salihin qablakum." Ala usually in the language, it's like an obligation. Ala, right? طبعاً, there's other narrations showing that it's not obligation, obviously, but alaykum is something that is emphasized. Alaykum, yeah, something that is recommended, and it's highly recommended for you to pray the night prayer. Why? He mentioned four reasons in the hadith, and I'll just mention them for benefit. He says, فَإِنَّهُ دَأْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ قَبْلَكُمْ. It is the way of the righteous before you. If you wanted to be someone who was righteous, this had to be one of your, sunan that you did, which is قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ. And then he says, وَإِنَّهُ قُرْبَةٌ لَكُمْ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ. Okay? وَهُوَ قُرْبَةٌ لَكُمْ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ. And it is a means of al-qurba, to be close to your Lord, right? Why would that be the case? Because all of us, alhamdulillah, everybody's praying their five daily prayers, but the night prayer is different. Why? Because you're sacrificing, what are you sacrificing? Sleep. Your sleep, you're sacrificing your sleep, right? And, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Sajda, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. Yani they push their heads away from their pillows, from their beds, okay? Why? So they can call upon Allah خَوْفًا وَطَمْعًا يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمْعًا, out of fear and hope. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And then he says, and then Allah subhanahu says in the next verse, what's the next verse? يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمْعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. And Allah says that nobody knows what Allah has hidden for them as a reward, okay, something that is qurrat ayun. Qurrat ayun is something that cools your eyes. Something you can't describe it in English. Yeah, qurrat al-ayn is what? Something that cools your eyes. Something that just makes you happy. Tamam. Jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden the reward of people who pray the night. Subhanallah. Right, جَزَاءً مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So he said, وَهَقُرْبَتَكُمْ لِأَرَبِّكُمْ وَمَكْفَرَةٌ لِلسَّيِّئَاتِ. Number three, it erases the sins. Yeah, someone wants to clean their slate. The best way to do it is during the night. Why? Because we have the hadith. Allah comes down after the first third of the night. And he says, أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ, I'm the king, I'm the king. Who's there to ask for forgiveness? And I'll forgive them. Allah's coming and most of us are sleeping. Every night. كُلَّ لَيْلَة. Right? Who's there to call? To call me and I'll answer them. Who's there to ask me and I'll answer them, right? And this goes all the way until Fajr. Subhanallah, like now, 6:48. Until 6:48, this is happening. This is a window of opportunity I think most of us are awake that time, you know, especially in the weekdays if you go to work, you know. And so it's a golden opportunity in this time, in this season, to try to practice Qiyam al-Layl in that portion of the night. Subhanallah. And then he says, وَمَنْ هَاتٌ عَنِ الْإِثْمِ. Number four, it actually prevents from sinning. So someone say, Shaykh, I'm stuck with this sin. I'm addicted to this sin. I have problem, you know, with my eyes, with all. This is one of the best ways. The night prayer. Subhanallah. Anyways, there's so much to talk about the night prayer. Lakin, yani, these are some of the things. And the Prophet ﷺ called it Sharaful Mu'min. It's the sharaf. It's the honor of the believer. So we said the sunnah mu'akkada. But how many prostrations of tilawah are in the Quran? Remember we mentioned sujood al-tilawah? Anybody remember the number? 18. Huh? 18 minus 4. Naam, how much? 14. 14, yeah. 14 in the Quran. And you'll see them in the Quran. There's like a sign, right? You'll see them there in the Quran. And we said that sajda tilawah is considered a salah. So you should have your wudu and the other shurut of salah. And this can be done in the salah and outside of salah. Should an imam recite a verse of tilawah in a silent prayer? Salat al-duhur. Is he supposed to do it? No, we said it's makruh for him to do that. Okay? Something disliked. And even some of the Hanabila, they said that if you're behind the imam and he just prostrates for no reason, and it's possible that it's sajda tilawah, you don't follow him. Someone said you don't even follow him. Taman, it's better to follow the imam in that case. But that's, yani, that's why it can confuse the ma'moom, the follower. So the imam should not. It's sunnah to do the sajda tilawah, right? And so if you're in the salah and you just, I don't know, accidentally started reading Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, right? So there's a sajda tilawah there, right? And so you read it, you don't have to do sajda. It's something that is sunnah, right? So even if you read a Quran like that, that has sajda tilawah, you don't have to. Tayyib, I'm skipping a lot, shouldn't remember to say that? Yeah. When should prostration of shukr be done? We said, there's another sajda, which is sajda shukr. When should that be done? When do you do it? Like, when is it masnoon? When is it sunnah to do sajdat shukr, of gratitude? Yeah, so when there's a ni'mah that happened to you, something that, a blessing, you know, that really, yeah, it's a big blessing. You went for an interview, got the job, you know, Allah blessed you with a baby, inshallah you were able to buy a new car, something like that, a ni'mah that you feel grateful for it, very grateful for it, you do sajdat shukr. Or if something very harmful was pushed away from you. Something very harmful, the doctor said, oh, you have this, you know, terminal illness, and then it's the wrong person, wrong file. You're like, oh, alhamdulillah. You know, sajda shukr, you know, something like that. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Or they're letting go, you know, of 100 employees, and you avoided the cut. Alhamdulillah, sajda shukr for that one as well. And we said this is just like salah, but can sajda shukr be done in salah? Like you're praying maghrib, can you do sajda shukr in salah? No, we said no. And some of the Hanabila said that it can actually, it will invalidate your salah. So sajda shukr is done outside. It's done outside, and you need the shurut of salah, the wudu, the qibla, all those things should be there. We said no, can it be performed salah? We said no. What are the five times? We said, we mentioned five times it is prohibited to pray. Five times it is prohibited to pray. Two long ones, three short ones. Yalla, bismillah. Naam? Can we start with the long ones? Let's start with the long ones. We said the long ones are after two prayers. What are the two prayers? Al-Fajr wal-Asr. Fajr and Asr. So there's two long times you're not allowed to pray. After you pray Fajr, you prayed your sunnah of Fajr and you prayed Fajr, you shouldn't be praying anything until... Yeah, until sunrise, which is, what does it say there? 8:18, right? طبعًا, there's another 15 minutes, we'll talk about it. So that's the first long time. So it's pretty long, like if you pray Fajr, you know, 7:10 or 7 o'clock, from 7 until 8:18, no salah. The only exception we said is, if you forgot your two sunnah of Fajr, you can pray them right after Fajr. That's it, no other prayer after that. So that's the first long one. The second long one after Asr. As soon as you pray Asr, you shouldn't pray anything after that. Okay? You shouldn't pray anything after that until Maghrib time. So those are the two long ones. Now the three short ones. The first short one we said what? As soon as the sun rises, okay, 8:18, there's a short time, okay, where you shouldn't. The sun is rising. There's about 10-15 minutes that you shouldn't pray. Tamam? So this is after the sunrise. The second time is? Before Dhuhr. That short time when the sun is at its highest, before Tazul, before it kind of leans over. Okay? That time, right before Dhuhr. So what Dhuhr is like 12:25. So like it's like 12:10. You know, that time, you shouldn't be praying. Okay? A very short time, 10 to 15 minutes. And then the third short time, we said, right before Maghrib. Like right before Maghrib when the sun is setting. Okay? You notice it's all to do with the sun. It's all to do with the sun. The sun is rising. The sun is at the top. The sun is like, you know, it's like those three positions. And then you have Asr and Fajr and Asr. Those are the times, right? Fadal Ad. Yeah, so then we talked about the exceptions. Yeah, the exceptions, the Hanabilah said the exceptions is, we said the two sunnah of Fajr, okay? Any obligatory prayer that you missed or forgot and you just remembered, right? So you just remember, oh my God, I didn't pray Asr, okay? And it's like now about to do Maghrib, you pray it, right? Two sunnah, we said the Fard, what else did we say? We said Salat Janazah. Right, Salat Janazah, that's also acceptable. The two sunnah of Tawaf, right behind Maqam Ibrahim, because of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, don't stop anyone from praying in the Masjid al-Haram. Some ulama, they said anything that has a reason. Anything that has a reason. Any salat that has a reason is allowed. Right? The Hanabilah said, no, the only exceptions we have dalil for is those four. Others, they did kind of analogy and they said, well, even something like istikhara or something like tahiyyatul masjid. The Hanabi said, no, we have a tahreem and we have something that is sunnah to do, right? To and when you enter the masjid, to not sit down except you have prayed. So, la alam yani. It's probably better to avoid it and you have an excuse to avoid tahiyyatul masjid, the two rakas of the masjid. I personally don't do it in those times of tahrim, right? If you follow the other opinion, la ba'as, inshallah. Because we have dalils that are kind of opposing each other. But the Hanabil said those four. Na'am, fadal. Na'am. That's how they came up with it. And we mentioned some of them last time. The specific ahadith mentioning that you shouldn't. And you notice that they're related to the sun. Right, the three short ones, the sunrise, right, the sun is at its highest, right, and the sun at its like it's just setting, tamam. And then the long times after Fajr, the one after Fajr is very clear, it's known, and the one after Asr as well. That's why the Hanabilah, they said that it's haram to pray Salatul Asr late, with no excuse. This is the tahrim time, right? So you're not supposed to pray it. La, different ahadith. One of them mentions three. I believe one of the ahadith mentions three of them. وأوقات النهي خمسة. Yeah, like this one says, إذا طلع الفجر فلا صلاة إلا ركعتي الفجر. Okay, look at this one. لا صلاة بعد صلاة العصر حتى تغرب الشمس. Right, so there's no prayer after صلاة العصر. Until the sun sets. Wadih, yani, like this is Nahi, right? And so on. And there's the hadith that mentions the three short times. So the Hanabi joined both those three ahadith and they said these are the five times that you're not supposed to. Taib. Now we can start with the congregational prayer. We had a short kind of discussion last time about the mas'alat. And we said we're going to try not to go into different opinions of the Hay, except in masail that we think that they are very relevant and people are just going to ask about. Is congregational prayer obligatory? Tamam. So we mentioned that there are several opinions. Okay, the majority of the madhahib, the Malikiyya, the Shafi'iyya, al-Hanafiyya, al-Ahnaf, they said that it's not wajib on the fard, on the ayn. So it's not fard ayn. They said it's not obligatory on the single Muslim, on the individual Muslim to pray jama'ah. They said it's not fard ayn. The Hanabila, they said it's fard ayn to pray in jama'ah. Remember, we're not saying jama'ah in the masjid, we're saying jama'ah, just jama'ah in general. Yani if you are at work and you pray with three people, that counts as jama'ah. If you're at home and you pray with like four people, two, three people, that counts as jama'ah. We're not talking about the masjid right now. So make sure you're not, and you put them together. We're talking about jama'ah prayer. So the Hanabila, they said it's fard on every Muslim. So that's, you're going to see that opinion here in the madhab. And then the Zahiriya said it's also fard on every person. But they also said that if you pray by yourself without an excuse, then it's not valid. Okay, the dalils of this mas'ala are many. And if you go, the reason why I'm not going to go into all the dalils, because that I think that maybe one day, inshallah, we'll do a whole 1 hour on it. Because there's so many evidences to discuss. And honestly, even myself, like, I'm still like in the middle. Because the dalils are so strong on both sides. I'll give you an example, just to kind of understand what the fuqaha have to go through when they make a hukum for this mas'ala. So the Shafi'iyya, wal Malikiyya, wal Hanafiyya, one of their dalils, they said that, remember we mentioned that the salah of the jama'ah is how many? Some narrations say it's 25 times as much, right? 27 times as much, okay? And so here they said, well, afdal, al-afdaliyya fi al-lugha al-arabiyya, right? If I say, mathalan, Hassan, atwal, okay, min Samir. Okay, what does that mean? Taller. Are they both tall? Yes. We won't say he's short. We would say he's tall, but he's taller. أطول. فأخير or أفضل. Okay, أفضل. Both of them have فضل. Okay, and so it wouldn't make sense to say the single prayer has فضل if it wasn't accepted. Does that make sense? Do you understand where they're coming from? The other said, no, there's other dalils where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned al-afdaliyya, khayrun, mathalan, ashabul jannati khayrun, mustaqarran, right? And so here, Allah is saying the people of Jannah are better, yeah, than the people of Jahannam. Are we going to say that the people of Jahannam are in a good place? They say no, okay? And so then the other group, they respond and they say, okay, no, we understand that. But here in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the adad. He mentioned the adad, number. So he said that there is at least one reward, which means they will be rewarded. But in that other example, and the language accepts that. Tamam. So anyways, it's a long discussion. You understand where I'm coming from. The Hanabila have strong evidences. We mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallam that he says, لَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِالصَّلَاتِ فَتُقَامُ. Yeah, and the Prophet says, I have the intention, the will, to get someone to pray, the jama'ah pray, ثُمَّ أَمْرَ رَجُلًا فَيُصَلِّ بِالنَّاسِ, to get someone to pray, lead the people, ثُمَّ أَنْطَلِقَ, نعم, ثُمَّ أَنْطَلِقُ مَعِي بِرِجَالِ مَعَهُمْ حَزْمٌ مِّنْ حَطَبٍ إِلَى قَوْمٍ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And I would go with some other people, with wood and fire, and to the houses of those who don't pray, and burn them down. Like, this is very serious. And even it's strange that the Prophet ﷺ would be that harsh, which shows you how intense this mas'ala is. Yani they're saying, okay, the Prophet ﷺ would not do it for something that is mustahab, recommended, right? Others said, no, the Prophet ﷺ is talking about the munafiqeen here, like the rad, right? The other dalil they used, the Hanabila, it's strong as well. They said, salat al-khawf. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَةِ. When you're in battle with them, okay, and the call of prayer, if there was a time to have an excuse, they said it would have been in Salat al-Khawf, right? Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describes to us exactly in detail how the first row is praying and then of the soldiers, and then one row is protecting and then they switch, yeah? فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ يَا فَلْيُصَلُّوا فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ. And when they do the sajda, the others come in front. So they said, well, if it's obligatory to do jama'ah in war, what about like in the times of peace, right? The others, they responded, they said, no, the whole point of this ayah is to describe how to pray in jama'ah in battle, right? And obviously in battle, it's not going to be one person, it's going to be jama'ah. So you understand, like, there's a lot of back and forth. And there's other. So if you look at all the ahadith and you join them, some of them are hasan, some of them are sahih, some of them have. It's, you're gonna come. But something that is very strong is, a blind man, and I'll stop with this. A blind man came to the Prophet ﷺ, right? And he said, you know, I'm blind, and do you give me a rukhsa, an excuse to not pray jama'ah? The Prophet ﷺ said, okay, you have an excuse. But then the man is walking away, he called him again, he said, can you hear the adhan? This is important. Can you hear the adhan? The blind man, okay, someone who would have, he said, I can hear the adhan. He said, then you respond to the adhan. Yeah? And so some of them said, well, if you can hear the adhan and you're proximity to the masjid, like you're walking distance, يعني, and you don't have an excuse, then it's wajib for you. And I'm comfortable with that one. It makes sense. يعني, you're in front of the masjid. And because there's another hadith that says, the one who hears the adhan and doesn't respond to it, then there's no salah for him. And that's why the Dhahiriya said, if you don't pray jama'ah, your salah is not accepted. La salata lahu, and this is almost saying like your salah doesn't count, right? And so it makes sense to say that if someone is next to the masjid and he hears the call of prayer, okay, then for him it would make sense for him to be wajib if he doesn't have an excuse. Does that make sense? Someone is far, yani it would make sense that for him it would be something that is highly recommended. Okay, so we'll leave it at that, and then we'll go with the matin. Yeah. So these are kind of the four opinions. Some said it's fard kifaya, yani as long as there's one group praying the jama'ah, then it's okay, yani for others to pray it at their home, or for others to pray it individually. The Hanabila are the ones that said it's fard ain, and we're gonna cover that right now. Others said it's highly recommended, right? And then the Zahiriya, they said it's a condition for the validity of the prayer. And that's a bit extreme, because we have evidences that go against that. We have evidence that go against that. So that's kind of the job of the faqih, right? It's a tough job to take all those evidences and try to narrow it down to a hukum. And then you have to look at, you know, fiqh al-aqaliyyat, you know, the fiqh of the minorities. So we can talk about the ruling in an Islamic country with adhan and masajid. Does that make sense? And then we can talk about, well, what about the people living in a minority and the masjid is far? Is it wajib for him? That's where you can actually narrow down the hukam. And that's why I told you, if you live next to a masjid and you can hear the adhan, or you would hear the adhan if it's called, then you should be going to the masjid unless you have an excuse. You have an infant with you, you can't go, you're sick. We'll talk about the people that have excuses. Is that wadih now with mas'alat al-jama'ah, right? And of course, al-afdal is to pray jama'ah. And the Hanabila, they will tell you that it's sunnah to pray jama'ah in the masjid. So it's fard for them to pray jama'ah, but it's sunnah. So it's fard to pray jama'ah, but it's sunnah to pray jama'ah in the masjid, right? And of course, that's where the greatest reward is. For the person should always be aiming for the greatest reward. طيب, bismillah. بدأنا, inshallah. طيب. So he says here, okay, faslun fi salat al-jama'ah. He said, تجب الجماعة للخمس المؤدات على الرجل على الرجال عفوا الأحرار القادرين. يا سلام. So he says, congregational prayer, okay, for the five daily prayers is obligatory on those who fulfill the following conditions. Tamam. So this is the opinion of the Hanabila, right? And we said this would make sense for those who are next to the masjid, they can hear the adhan, right? Sorry, this is someone who is able in their house to pray jama'ah. So they said for men, so this is excludes who? The children, the woman, tamam, who's free, al-ahrar. So a slave would not be wajib for him to pray jama'ah. And al-qadirin, someone who's able. So someone who's not able, it would not be fard for them, right? What's an example of someone who's not able? Someone who's in a coma, unconscious, marid, he can't get up, tamam? So it wouldn't be fard for him. So three conditions: men, they are free, and they are able. And then he says, وَحَرُمَ أَن يَأُمَّ قَبْلَ. So now he's going to go talk about, yeah, so doing jama'ah in a mosque is sunnah for men, okay? And now he's going to talk about the imam. So the imam. If the imam is here, is anybody allowed to go and lead the salah without his permission? Huh? What about if the imam is late? So here, the same thing. We're gonna go through the ruling, okay, the general ruling. But also, what about if we're talking about a masjid that doesn't have a specific imam for the five salawat? Okay, what about a masjid where we have multiple imams, and so on. So, but we're going to talk about general ruling, and then we'll talk about the exceptions. So يقول هنا, okay, وحرمه, and it's prohibited, تحريم. This is like to lead a prayer in the mosque that has an assigned imam. This is the general ruling, okay? And you know, in the Muslim countries, there is an imam, and if the imam doesn't come, the muaddin prays for him, okay? So if both of them are not there, then maybe that would make sense, no problem. So they said except with his permission. So the imam has given permission, or you know that he's okay with it, with his permission. So they said, إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ, okay? أَوْ عُذْرِهِ أَوْ عَدَمُ كَرَاهَتِهِ. So except there is his permission, or there's a valid excuse. What's a valid excuse? Yeah, he's very late. Tamam, he's very late. The time is about to end. The main prayer has been led by the imam, and you came in late. Tamam. The imam did not come or is very late. He didn't come or he's very late. Or number three, they said, if you know, he does not hate it, and he's okay with it, that Fulan leads the prayer. Okay? So this is something that each masjid comes up with, right? This is the people of congregation, they should discuss, right? Some masajid, they have a list of imams. Maybe we'll have that in our masjid soon. And I think that's something that is recommended to do, so that nobody comes and leads the prayer, someone who's not qualified. Because we're going to talk about who's qualified to pray the salah. And if someone not qualified leads the salah, then we can all be sinful for that. So those are the main ruling is that it's prohibited. Okay? Unless you know that the imam is okay with that. So, مثلا, in this masjid, if the imam doesn't come and there's an understanding here, then somebody steps up and prays. Okay? And usually it's known who prays. يعني مثلا, you know, in the northeast, مثلا, if you pray in the northeast or other location, usually Sheikh Hassan, مثلا. And then if Sheikh Hassan is not there, Sheikh Hatim. And then if Sheikh Hatim is not there, there might be like, if Sheikh Ali is there, مثلا, Sheikh Ali will lead. And so on. يعني usually the imams, and then the Huffad usually, and so on. Cool? طيب. We talk about, نعم, so on? You have a question? No? طيب. Then we say, then he says here, he says now, and whoever does takbir al-ihram before the first salam of imam, okay, now he's talking about catching the prayer. So the salah has started, okay, and then you came in and you're late. What happens now? Okay, so now he says, وَمَنْ كَبَّرَ, okay, وَمَنْ كَبَّرَ قَبْلَ تَسْلِيمَةِ الْإِمَامِ الْأُولَى أَدْرَكَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. So what counts as catching the salah? The Hanabila, they say, as long as you say takbirat al-ihram, Allahu Akbar, that's how you enter salah, before he finishes his first salam alaykum. So let's say now we're going to pray Isha. We're on the fourth rak'ah, and the imam is about to say assalamu alaykum, and the guy comes in, Allahu Akbar. Has he caught the prayer? He's got the prayer. He has caught salatul jama'ah. Has he caught the rak'ah though? No, we're going to talk about that. He didn't catch the last rak'ah, so he's going to have to pray four in total. But at least he got the reward of joining in the jama'ah. Okay? So whoever does takbir al-ihram before the first salam of the imam, he has caught the prayer. Okay? طيب. Whoever catches the imam in ruku', okay? وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَاكِعًا أَدْرَكَ الرَّكْعَةً. يعني وَمَنْ أَدْرَكَهُ, the imam, whoever catches the imam, أَدْرَكَهُ رَاكِعًا أَدْرَكَ الرَّكْعَةً بِشَرْطِ إِدْرَاكِهِ رَاكِعًا وَعَدَمِ شَكِّهِ فِيهِ وَتَحْرِيمَتِهِ قَائِمًا. Look what he says. He says, and whoever catches the imam in ruku', the imam is doing ruku', right? He's doing, he's in the position of ruku', okay? He has caught the rak'ah with these conditions. Number one, okay, he caught him while still in ruku'. So let's say now the imam says, Allahu Akbar, Subhanahu Rabbil Azim, Subhanahu Rabbil Azim, Subhanahu Rabbil Azim. You come in and you say takbirat al-ihram, and the imam is still in ruku' and you go down, you've caught the rak'ah. طيب. But he says then, and you don't have any shak, you have no doubt. So now if it's a big masjid, مثلاً, and you came in the back and you're not sure, did he actually get up before I said takbir al-ihram? You know, did he say sami Allahu, and you're like Allahu Akbar. So if you have doubt, then you did not catch it. If you had doubt, you did not catch it. And he says, as long as you did takbir al-ihram while you were standing. Right? So he said, Allahu Akbar, and then you went down before he came up, Sami Allahu Hamida, then you have caught it. Does that make sense? Everybody understand how it would count that you caught him? If you caught him in ruku' and he's still in ruku', right? And you don't have any doubt that he was still in ruku', and you did takbir al-ihram while you were standing. You did takbir al-ihram while you were standing, right? And طبعًا, when we talk about the takbirat, Allahu Akbar, right? The actual saying, right? We said the takbirat al-ihram is a what? Is it sunnah? Is it wajib? Is it rukun? It's a rukun. Takbirat al-ihram, when you enter salah, this is a rukun. And so if you don't do it, you haven't even entered salah. Right? If you don't do it, you haven't entered salah. The other takbirat that you change position from are wajib. Right? So these are the ones that, if you missed one, you would have to do sahu for it. You would have to do sahu for it. Tamam? Everything else is sunnah. Everything else is sunnah. So if you, and he's mentioning this, right? Because he said the second takbir to catch the imam is sunnah. The second takbir to catch the imam is sunnah, right? So if you said Allahu Akbar, you entered salah, okay? And you said Allahu Akbar again, this is the sunnah. Something that is sunnah, it's not wajib, right? So takbir al-ihram is the rukun, is the pillar. You have to do it to enter salah. So if you enter, right, and the imam is in ruku', and you came in here and you said Allahu Akbar to go down, not to enter salah, yani your intention is not to enter salah, you haven't entered salah. This is important to understand. That's why takbir al-ihram is very important to understand. طيب. And then he says, نعم. وتسن ثانية للركوع. We talked about that, right? The second one is ركوع. Then he says something interesting. وما أدرك معه آخرها وما يقضيه أولها. So he's saying now, وما أدرك معه, whatever you catch with him, okay, with the imam, آخرها. Let me ask you a question. You've entered now. The imam has prayed two rak'ahs, Isha, okay? He's getting up for the third one, you join. Allahu Akbar, okay? So you missed how many? Two, طيب. The two you're going to pray with him now, he's just going to read Fatiha, صح? Okay?
Echoing. Let's see. Bismillah.
Yeah, so the two that you prayed with him now, you're going to pray with him now, are his last two. Okay, طب. Are these your last two or your first two? First two or last? Who says first two? It's going to matter. Why? Because when you make up, when you continue after, are you going to do, du'a al-istiftah, a'udhu billahi minash-shaytan rajim? Are you going to read a surah with your fatiha?
Yeah.
Okay, so look what the Hanabila say, okay? He says, وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَعَهُ آخِرُهَا. So he's saying that whatever you pray with the imam, okay, that is your last two. So just like him, that's your last two. So whatever the imam prayed, it's yours as well. Okay. وَمَا يَقْضِيهِ أَوَّلُهَا. So if you came in the last two of Isha and he prayed Fatiha, to make up the first two, you should start with سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن دعاء الاستفتاح and then أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الحمد لله رب العالمين and you should read a surah. طبعا if you didn't it's not gonna ruin your salah, but here he's talking about and there's a different opinion that نعم yes like I said there's even in the madhab there's another opinion, but this is the followed opinion in the madhab that you would do whatever you missed you have to make up. You missed the first two, make up the first two. Tamam? They said because you wanna, the salah should be complete. Should be complete, assuming that you prayed it. Right? And the imam would cover exactly what you prayed with him. That's their logic. It's ijtihad, yani. And there's no clear proof which one is right. I'll tell you where the problem is here, because there's a hadith where the Prophet says, فَصَلِّ مَا أَدْرَكْتْ وَقْضِ مَا سَبَقَكَ. And then he says, وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَقْضُوا. And then in the other narration, وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّوا. فَقْضُوا فَأَتِمُّوا. If you say فَأَتِمُّوا, there's two narrations. Whatever you missed, فَأَتِمُّوا complete. If you understand complete means, the last two were the same as the imam, you have to complete. فقدوا يعني make them up. So even from a linguistic, the issue is a linguistic differentiation here. For that's why there's those two opinions, and whatever you do, inshallah khair. But the opinion of the Hanabila is, if you come in the last two rak'ahs, then your first two you should read, you know, the isti'adha, and you should read a surah with it as well. Wadih, everyone, that mas'ala? طيب. Responsibility of the imam. طيب. Now they talk about what does the imam cover for his followers? تمام. ماذا يتحمل? So here he says, ويتحمل عن مأموم number one قراءة وسجود سهو وسجود سهو وتلاوة وسترة ودعاء قنوت وتشهدا أول إذا سبق بركعة. So he's gonna now list a few things that the imam covers for the ones who are following him. Covers, يعني, he's covering for them. They don't have to do it. So he talks about here, the imam is responsible for the following, of the following for the follower. يعني the follower is not responsible for them. Number one, القراءة. So whatever the imam is reciting, you don't have to recite. Right? We said, except if he's quiet, you can read. That's something that is sunnah. And so you don't have to read al-Fatiha. When I pray Isha right now, you don't have to read al-Fatiha. Your job is to listen and to reflect. يعني. So recitation, he says, but it is sunnah to recite for the follower behind the imam in the following situations. When the imam is quiet, like if I pray Isha right now and I'm quiet, does that break the salah? Inshallah, good. Okay, it doesn't break your salah. And nobody's going to say subhanAllah, for example. You're right? We're going to pray Isha quietly. What should you do? It's recommended that you read Fatiha yourself. Okay? If someone says subhanAllah, the imam is going to remember and he's going to read, and then khalas, you listen now. Does that make sense? If we're in Dhuhr, you actually don't have to read Al-Fatiha. Okay? But it is sunnah for you. Why? Because otherwise, what are you going to do? You're just going to stay there, right? So it makes sense that you read Al-Fatiha when the imam is quiet, right? Dhuhr and Asr. And then he says, follower cannot hear the imam. What if you can't hear the imam? Right? You're like really far and you can't hear him. Then they said, yeah, it's recommended to read Al-Fatiha. Like back in the day, they would have a huge masjid. There's no microphone. You can't hear the imam reading Al-Fatiha. So you read it yourself. Okay? Almost as if you are praying in a quiet prayer. So number one, he covers your recitation. Number two, okay, he covers your sujood al-sahu. Okay? So what does that mean? Any issue that you have in your salah, you would do sahu, right, for it? The imam covers that for you. That's what it's talking about here. وَسُجُودُ سَهُوٍ يعني, any mistake done by the follower that requires sujood sahu is overlooked behind the imam. So, مثلاً, what are some reasons? So, I'm leading the salah and you're behind me, for example, and you do something like what? Mm-hmm. What's your question? You have a question? Yeah, that's a good question. So you join Maghrib in the third rak'ah, tamam? And you caught him in the ruku'ah. So now you're gonna get up. Yeah, you would pray. Yeah, this is where the you guys understand this question, because you've prayed one rak'ah, the first one. Now you're gonna get up and pray a second one, Fatiha, okay, and a surah. Then you're gonna go and you're gonna do tashahud, okay. And then you're going to get up again. So do you hear do Fatiha? Does this count as the third one or the second one? According to the opinion of the Hanabila, this would also, you'd also read Fatiha as well. Because here, you're trying to complete. And even if you did Fatiha and a surah in all your rak'at, it doesn't invalidate your prayer. It's just the sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ would only read a surah in the first two. This is just يعني, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And it should be fine, bidnillah. Yeah, so here, if you make a mistake يعني, in your salah, let's say you forgot to say Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar from Fatiha, you forgot to say Allahu Akbar to ruku'. This is a wajib, right? And this deserves a sahu. The imam covers that for you. Huh? So he yeah, so it's corrected for you. You don't have to worry about it because the imam covers that for you. Does that make sense? So you don't have to do a sahu after. Yani you shouldn't be doing a sahu if the imam doesn't do a sahu. Unless, are you going to ask about the, if you're coming late? But yeah, what's your question? No, but it yani your mistake is covered by him. Because his salah is your salah. Do you know what I mean? His fatiha is your fatiha. His tahara covers your tahara. Obviously, you have to have tahara, right? But here, the sahu is covered for you, right? Any mistake done by the follower that requires sujood sahu is overlooked behind the imam. Even if the follower joined late and is making it up, the follower is still not required to do sujood sahu if she made a mistake somewhere in the prayer. And if you now continue by yourself, okay, if you continue by yourself and you do mistake in your separate salah, then you should do a sahu. It's recommended to do a sahu because that's your own salah. It's not the salah of the imam. He also covers for you sajda tilawa, right? So let's say now we're in dhuhr and you're behind the imam and you read iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, and then in the end there is sajda. Yeah? So طبعًا it's sunnah to do tilawa, but you don't do sajda here and the imam is covered for you. So you get the reward for that sunnah. MashaAllah, the imam. Make dua for the imam. Number four, the sutra. Right, the sutra. So the imam has a sutra. Anybody walks in front of you, you're fine. Anybody walks in front of you while you're in jama'ah, it's fine. That's why you see the haram, people are walking in front of the musallin and tarawih and back and forth. That's fine because he covers your sutra. Okay. Number five, the dua of qunut. He makes the dua. You just say ameen. So he covers for you the dua of qunut. The first tajahud of the follower, okay. So this is an interesting question here. Okay, he says here. Naam. Yeah, so he says here, وَتَشَهُدًا أَوَّلْ إِذَا سُبِقَ بِرَكْعَ. What's he talking about? He's saying that if you come, مثلاً, in a salah of four rak'ahs, okay? طبعاً, every two, you're supposed to what? Do tashahud. So if you miss the first one, and you came in the second one, okay? Focus with me here. You missed the first one, and you came in the second one. After the second one, you're all going to sit down for tashahud. This is his second one, your first one. When you get up now, and you pray the third with him, okay, and he goes down, is he going to sit for the third one? He's not, because it's not time to sit. He's going to get up. But you're supposed to sit because it's your second one. Okay, so he covers that for you. That's what he's talking about. Okay, so when you pray the second one, you're supposed to sit. But you're the imam. For him, it's the third. For you, it's the second. So now he covers that for you. That's what he's talking about here, right? وَتَشَهُدًا أَوَّلْ إِذَا سُبِقَ بِرَكْعَةٍ. Okay, نعم. So here he says, yeah, every two rak'ahs you must sit down for tashahud. But in case the follower will just follow the imam, and the imam's tashahud suffices. Okay. Yeah, follower continues to sit after every two rak'ahs while making it up. When you make it up, yes, you sit after every two rak'ahs. When you make it up, obviously that makes sense. Tamam. And then it's not mentioned here, but the footnotes, he mentioned also he covers your tasmi'. We don't say sami'a Allahu liman hamida. The imam says sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Okay, you don't. You have a question? Tadal. The first what was missed? The first four, you said? The first two were missed. Uh-huh. You're saying he doesn't say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You're saying he doesn't? Are you asking if he does or he doesn't? Ah, good question. Yeah, you're saying because he already did the two tashahuds, the first part, at-tahiyyat, and then as-salawat al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So does he do it again? That's a good question. Do you guys understand the question? So he's saying that when you come in the salah, okay, you come in the third rak'ah, مثلا. The imam is gonna finish with the التحيات and then والصلوات على النبي, right? طيب. And when you make up the last two, okay, when you finish your salah, do you do التحيات and the salawat على النبي? Or do you just do half? Because you missed half. You missed the only the first, التحيات, the جلسة for the first one. Yeah, but you missed that one. Yeah. You came on the third one. Both. Yeah. Wallahu a'lam, I'm not sure exactly what the Hanbali opinion would be. I'm leaning towards you would do both because you to finish your salah, okay, you would do both. And it would be wajib to do a salawat. Allahu a'lam. I need to look into that. Na'am. Tafaddal.
In our conversation before, you mentioned that the person has room to knowledge to follow, but the lay person should follow the imam.
In this situation, I think the majority would read both. Read both. The tahiyyat wa salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, you would do both. Naam. And I think that's probably the majority opinion. I'm not sure exactly in the Hanbali madhab what it is. Inshallah, I can look it up and bring it up inshallah next class. It's a great question. And then number seven, we said at-tasmi'ah. So those are the seven things it's covered for you. We said recitation, sujood sahu. Sajda tilawa, your sutra, your dua, qunut dua, your first tashahud if you miss, if you come late, and the tasmi' sami' Allahu Muhammad. That's all covered for you by the imam. طيب. What are some of the sunan for the imam? I think we'll cover this. Yeah, good. We'll cover this and we'll stop there. طيب. What are some of the sunan for the imam? So they say here, يقول هنا وسنة له. So this is sunan for the imam. If you're the imam, it's sunnah for you what? وسن له التخفيف مع الإتمام. التخفيف مع الإتمام. يعني to make the salah light, okay, but not like to have any shortcomings. To make it يعني complete salah, but to take it easy. So lighten it for the people with proper completion of all steps. Meaning, do not make the prayer long for the people and do not speed through it as well. يعني try to be in the middle. Don't make it too fast, but don't make it long. يعني make it something that is easy for the people, and I think, يعني, the imam depends where they are. Sometimes it's a masjid with a lot of old people. Sometimes it's a masjid that it's a mix. Sometimes it's a masjid in the university. They're all young people, mashallah. It depends. يعني, sometimes it's a duhur salah. We talked about the sunan of the Prophet ﷺ. He would make some salat longer, some salat shorter, right? Is it salat al-tarawih? Is it qiyam al-layl? It depends. It depends what it is. You had a question? جميل. So that's the first thing, right? التخفيف مع الإتمام. وتطويل الأولى على الثانية, and to make the first rak'ah longer than the second. This is from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He would make the first rak'ah longer than the second, and then he says وانتظار داخل ما لم يشق. And from the Sunnah is to wait for someone who's entering. So the Imam is praying. Here it's easy, I guess you could kind of hear or see someone. Someone is coming, and you're able to kind of prolong it a bit, يعني, to make him, يعني, help him catch. يعني, it's mentioned here that this is a sunnah. As long as you're not making it too long. يعني, someone comes in, okay, and then you just keep reading until he makes wudu and he puts his socks back on, and then, okay, that's mashaqqa ala nas. But someone's walking in, right? And on the side of the person entering, he should walk slowly. We said that from the sunnah is that you walk slowly to salah. You don't run to catch the salah. Right. It's better for you to miss the rak'ah and come in slowly than to run in fast and then you're like, salah, like, you know, out of breath, and then you're bothering everybody around you and so on. Tamam. Yeah, so wait for people to enter the prayer. If it does not cause hardship, right, you can make your ruku' longer, maybe subhanallah al-azim, so that people can catch. But you don't want to do 20 subhanallah al-azim and the guy is still not here, and then, right? You can make your tashahud longer, do an extra dua. Yani these things, yani to make it easy for the people. Inshallah, next week, we're going to talk about who's supposed to be the imam, who's supposed to be the one who leads. Okay, is the one who has more fiqh, more, yani alim, or someone who is qari. يعني the qari, is it the one who has a nicer voice, or is it the one who has more hifz, or is the one who has better tajweed? Inshallah, all of those things we're going to discuss. Who's not allowed to be imam, right? Is a child allowed to lead adults, like a non-pubescent child, like a 12-year-old? Is he allowed to, or let's say 10-year-old, is he allowed to lead adults? Right. This is a mas'ala khilafiyya, right? And you'll see that the Hanabi will say no, right? Even if he's like, you know, unless there's nobody that can read. There's nobody that can read. Or if it's something that is nafila and so on, we'll talk about. So all those, inshallah, we'll talk about. Is a woman allowed to lead the men? In any case? There is an opinion that if there's no one that is able to read, huh, the woman might be able to lead, but from behind. This is like almost impossible. But let's say nobody here knows how to read, or it's some country that there's only one Muslim, and the Muslim is a woman, and there's no jama'ah, and jama'ah is fard. So, yani, Allah alam, it might be a hypothetical question, and so on, yeah. And all these, inshallah, we'll discuss them, bi'idhnillah, in the next lecture. Any questions? Yeah. Na'am, tafaddal. Say it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so inshallah we'll talk about it next week. But yeah, there's a يعني the Hanabila, they say that the young boy who's not baligh, he's not baligh and he's not reached puberty, al-mumayyiz, يعني the one who can read and he can differentiate things, but he's not baligh, then he should not lead them in fard prayers. He should not lead the imams in fard prayers. He can only lead those who are his age. يعني they're all non-pubescent, but if there's adults, they should be leading. They should believe. We'll talk about it, inshallah, next week. Any other questions? Tfaddal. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, tfaddal.
If you're coming to the mosque, people are praying in Jamaah, and you call Maghrib prayer, for example. So, you do need to pray Maghrib, but okay, you are doing the third rak'ah, then they do one more. So, they're doing Asr, or they're doing Isha. What do we do?
You came in to pray Maghrib? During Maghrib time?
Yes.
Taib, they should be praying Maghrib.
Well, it happened here.
What happened? What happened exactly? So they were doing Isha. Okay. Jamil. Good question. You're coming, and in the masjid, it's Maghrib time. Yeah. But they've prayed Maghrib, and they're bringing Isha back because of the weather, etc. Taib, Jamil. You haven't prayed Maghrib. They're praying Isha.
Yes.
Okay. So... the opinion that I follow here is that you have to pray three, they have to pray four. Sahih? You come in and you pray Maghrib. So now if you join from the beginning with them, once they're finished their third, okay, you're going to stay sitting down. Okay, so they're going to get up for the fourth, you're going to stay sitting down, okay? And then you wait until the imam sits down and says taslim, you say taslim with him. And that would have counted as your Maghrib prayer. If you came late, you finish with them. And if you missed the first rakah, you finish with them. Because here they put the awlawiyya, the importance of praying the prayers in time. Right? And then you can, hopefully somebody else will come and you pray jama'ah with them. Allah ta'ala. We'll stop there. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.